The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hi, this is Kevin McCullough. Thanks for listening to the Christian Outlook podcast, where we cover today's issues from a perspective that honors your Christian faith. Our podcast is brought to you through a partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy and ADF, Alliance Defending Freedom. Here's another piece I trust you'll enjoy.
If you know anything about Major League Baseball, and I'll add country music, you will know who my next guest is, who is author of the brand new book entitled Curveball. Barry Zito played baseball in the major leagues for 15 seasons. He was a Cy Young Award winner, I believe, twice. And he has a brand new book out, again, entitled Curveball. Barry Zito, welcome to the Frank Sontag Show. Barry, how are you?
I'm doing good, Frank. How are you? I hope the fires over there aren't getting too crazy, man.
Well, you're very kind. Most of them are either contained or out, and thanks for thinking of us. It was it's always kind of stressful when, you know, you have high winds and the next thing you know, things are a bit out of control. And you know a little bit about up in Northern Cal, they've got this problem going ongoing for a number of years. So thanks for the kind words. How's Nashville? You're living in Nashville now, huh?
Yeah, I've been out in Nashville actually for 4 years, so I'm kind of removed now from SoCal, but that was my home for many years, but I'm enjoying life out here a little slower and lots of wonderful music that I can get into here in retirement.
Well, we're going to talk a little bit about your new vocation in a moment, but we obviously want to talk about your book and your time in Major League Baseball. When did you first have an idea to write your book, which again is called Curveball, and it is out?
You know, so I basically got done playing ball, and I was talking to a gentleman who was working for ASCAP at the time, and they, you know, they collect licensing money for songwriters. And so, you know, he's managing me now, but he, you know, we were talking about my story and my path, and you know, he just thought that I had to say some things, and just from knowing me, and it was very cathartic, you know, to say the things I couldn't quite say in the post-game media interviews. You know, we can't always speak our mind freely as professional athletes. I think it's, you know, something you have to, I don't know. I had the notion that I had to appear confident or self-assured when in reality I was really doubting myself at every turn for many years and didn't even enjoy the game at all.
Were you raised with this idea of you wanted to be a professional baseball player, let alone a pitcher? Was that some of your childhood dream?
It was, yeah. I think like most kids that grow up here in the U.S., you know, I played Little League, and of course I wanted to be in the major leagues. And you know, but I had a very unique father who was very loving and, you know, taught me a lot of amazing things about parenting now that I have kids. But I think what I interpreted is that it was almost too intense, the identification with my baseball life, my baseball performance, even at a young age, to the point where he would tell my sisters and my mom, you know, hey, don't talk to Barry today. He's starting. And so I'm sure he meant well, but what I interpreted was, you know, baseball is the only thing that matters. And that really came back to harm me later in my life.
Now, I want to jump around, and I'll play off what you just said when you said it came back to harm you later on in life. How did that happen? What came back to harm you?
Well, I mean, you listen, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say there's not a lot of great things, you know, from playing the major leagues. I mean, certainly I lived my dreams, but it became the most destructive thing in my life. You know, I signed this huge contract, and, you know, although on the outside the money looks good and people think you're, you know, living a perfect life, really, when you're making a lot of money. But the only thing I wanted was to pitch well. I would have given it all back to go out there and win every 5 days, and I couldn't figure out how to get out of my own way. I mean, I was sabotaging myself left and right because I became so desperate for results, you know, ultimately desperate for validation as a human being, desperate for approval, for unconditional love. You know, I felt that I was performing for, you know, people's opinions, and so they would like me, really. And that became a very dark and isolated place for me for many years as a San Francisco Giant.
And early on, Barry, you enjoyed incredible success. I think it was your fourth season, you won the Cy Young.
Yeah, I did. My second full year, I got a Cy Young in Oakland, and, you know, I had just over 100 wins, you know, after my first six seasons with Oakland. And I mean, a very successful kind of beginning to my career. And at that point, you know, I went to San Francisco and was hired to be the face of the franchise and signed this, at the time, the biggest contract ever for a pitcher, you know. So I was really hitting all the verticals, you know, with my dreams. But because there was no foundation in my life for anything more important than baseball, you know, there was no belief really in a higher power or in a destiny or a life's purpose outside of, you know, what do I make of it? You know, they say life's what you make of it, but you take that to an extreme and it's like, man, we are actually not the creators of our own lives. Although, you know, in your highest and best successes, you might want to think so.
For sure. Barry Zito is my guest. His new book is Curveball, How I Discovered True Fulfillment After Chasing Fortune and Fame. Barry, were you raised at all with any awareness of God? Were you raised in a home by which you went to church? Was God at all taught at a very young age for you?
No, I was raised in a New Age church. My grandmother started a teaching in the 60s that was New Age, and you know, and it was based on Christian Science, religious science, which is actually a little bit closer to an Eastern type of tradition, just because. You know, like words like sin and the crucifix were not used, although they did talk about Jesus a lot. And Jesus was not so much somebody, you know, that came and died for our sins. Jesus was somebody that we could be like if we could think like him and manifest, you know, miracles as he manifests them. And so when I, you know, it was all about I have the strength and the willpower to get to where I need to go in life if I can so, you know, exercise that self-control. And so, again, while life was good, hey, I was taking all the credit. But when things turned upside down for me, I had nothing greater to defer to. You know, I prayed to a force, which, you know, my father brought Ernest Holmes and, you know, the teachings of Ernest Holmes into my existence. And those were also successful for a while, but they didn't sustain, certainly not through the pain and the turbulence of life.
No need to be self-indulgent here, but just point of fact, I was a New Age teacher in Southern California for 21 years, so I know exactly what you're talking about.
Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah.
My goodness.
The reliance on self, that somehow we have this ability, we're sparks of the divinity, and you throw a little spirituality in there, and Jesus is the Lord of love, but we surely in New Age don't embrace him as the Son of God. It's all about you and me and all the things we can do. And you were raised in that. My goodness gracious. So the success you had, I imagine, when that started to go by the wayside, those were some life-defining moments for you. Did you have some dark times?
I did, you know. And I think, you know, when you have tough times, but you're also a strong-willed person,
yep,
right? And you kind of believe that if I have a strong enough will and enough, you know, like I said, self-control over my thoughts and what I'm putting out there, quote unquote, you know, that I can turn the ship, you know, I can change this thing and move it around and, you know, make a big U-turn in my career and go back to, you know, the Hall of Fame level I was at. And so I really tried to go through that brick wall for 4 or 5 years and got nowhere and just kind of sunk deeper into the pit of misery. And eventually, after being injured for the first time, you know, in my 10-year career and missing my first games, you know, really peculiar things were happening in 2011, car accidents and strange injuries. And my wife actually said, honey, do you think God's trying to tell you something?
Wow.
And, and it was the first time I had to really just step away, have some perspective and be like, yeah, this is pretty funky stuff going on here. And, you know, there was another experience too, getting left off the roster in 2010. You know, I was brought over there and paid a lot of money to lead my team to a World Series, and I actually got left off the roster and watched them win a World Series right in front of me. And, you know, and that was a very strange feeling watching, you know, the team that I was making more than all those guys almost combined, you know, win without me. And, you know, so I actually went and entered into a 12-step program, and it was codependency. You know, I was obsessed with people's opinions. I needed to be liked and approved of so bad, and tried to change people's minds if they didn't like me. And again, I was trying to change their minds while I was pitching. And anyways, you know, step two is willing to admit there's a power greater than me. And that was the first time I ever really contemplated there's something greater than me. Wow. I had to get to rock bottom to even understand that. And so once, you know, the following year came, and like I said, I was injured and all these things in 2011, I was finally open to reading, you know, this book, the Bible. And one day my wife told me to lock up all my self-help books, because I was surrounded on the bed with all these books, probably five or six. And she said, baby, I just want you to read this book. And she handed me a Bible, and it was really the first time I'd ever dove into that and truly tried to understand what was happening there.
Barry Zito is my guest. I want to try to clarify contextually here something that you shared that's really important. Now, and I'll try to be very brief. The majority of listeners right now will never be in professional athleticism, let alone the height of, say, Major League Baseball. You won a Cy Young early on in your career. You were an All-Star three times. We're going to get to the World Series the year after when things started falling apart. But you have all of this fame, fortune, accolades, Barry, and you're raised in the mindset, it's your will, it's your positive thinking, it's all of you creating this. And then when things really started to fall apart, the world from the outside looking in sees Barry Zito, multi-million dollar contract, all this fame, fortune, to go out and throw a baseball. I don't want to minimize the importance of baseball, but man, you had to really go through the grinder.
I did. Yeah, I did. And I think the hardest part, you know, really was letting people down. You know, these people were paying money and they probably couldn't afford the Giants tickets. You know, they were expensive, and they were paying to come, you know, see their star player, their highest paid player, win games. And I kept failing and letting them down. And of course, then seeing my name in the headlines and people talking about me, saying things on the radio and about me that I was blown away how brash and harsh these people were, you know, and certainly the fans that were yelling cuss words right to my face. And I mean, the worst of it really was having people out in public places, you know, yell, you know, expletive Zito from across the restaurant or the bar, or, you know, if I'm out having a beer with a friend or something. It became pretty heavy for me. But eventually, you know, my ego kind of cracked, and that's what I needed. I needed that. I'll say that for sure. I needed it.
You know, my pastor, my first pastor, whose name is Francis Chan, when I became a follower of Christ 10 years ago,
absolutely.
In his book, he talked about, thank you, God, for saving me from myself. And it was so mind-blowing to me as being a New Age teacher. Like, even Proverbs 3:5-6, the world says, yourself is all that you have. And yet, you hit a point, I think, in August of 2011, where you said, man, I can't live like this anymore. And you got a Bible and you became a follower of Christ.
Yeah, you know, it sounds strange because I needed structure, right? Yep. Like when it was all about the self and my mind and my interpretation and this very postmodern thing now, everyone is creating their own spirituality, their own religions. This is my truth. That's your truth. And our minds are pretty twisted, you know, and a lot of these things are based on feeling. So this is my truth today, but tomorrow, if I feel different, that's my truth tomorrow. And those things could absolutely contradict each other. And so for me, I finally could admit that my twisted mind could not be the thing that was leading my life anymore, it could not be the North Star. And I needed something that was structured, that was rigid, that I could look to when I knew that I couldn't trust my own mind to decipher what was happening. Mm. And so, you know, that is what, you know, the Bible tells us. That is, you know, God's story is really God wants his people back. And, you know, it was very strange to want that, because most people are raised in the box and they want out.
Yep.
Right. And
yep.
I was raised out of the box and I needed in.
For sure. For sure. Author Barry Zito, brand new book, Curveball, is my guest. I'm blessed to say. So in a sense, God gave you another chance to pitch, in the World Series the following year. As a new Christian, did your view of pitching in baseball change before you actually were brought up on a roster and you actually pitched in the World Series? Did that change your perspective?
Oh, yeah. You know, when I found God and I started, well, you know, when I started to follow Jesus, and what that meant for me was I'm living my life not for myself anymore, not for my own glory or accolades or attention or approval. It's for God's now. So whatever I do is actually pointing back at him. And if you want to compliment me, you're actually complimenting him in me. And so that was something that just took the pressure off. You know, yeah. I could admit that I was flawed and broken and that I'm just trying my best every day. And, you know, hopefully through the Holy Spirit over the years, I can just be better and better and I'll keep doing everything I can. But when I got back on that field in 2012 and had my best season with the Giants, you know, I came to Christ in the summer of 11. So that next season, it was a game again. I mean, it became something that I could enjoy, that I wasn't deathly, you know, had a death grip and was attached to you know, my life depending on it, how it was for so long. And I got to go out in the playoffs in 2012 and, you know, I had a really bad game, my first playoff game, because I was kind of fell back into my old patterns of wanting to prove this to the Giants fans that I could do it, that I was the guy they signed, you know, 6 years earlier. And, but 5 days later, I got another incredible, you know, opportunity to pitch. A guy had struggled with his mechanics, and I got inserted back into the rotation when I thought I'd lost my chance, you know, for the rest of the playoffs. And, I went into that game. It was in St. Louis in the NLCS 2012. And, you know, everything was riding on my game. You know, we were down 3-1 and we were playing on the road in a really good left-handed hitting lineup of the Cardinals. And I just went out there and said, you know, if I'm giving up 10 runs, then whatever. Like, I just want to have fun out there, throw that ball the way I can. And I'm sick of taking responsibility for the results of my life. You know, I can do what I can do. I'm just a human being, you know, and that humble approach actually led to my best game of my career. And I did kind of the same thing 5 days later in the World Series and, you know, got to pitch against Justin Verlander and we ended up beating him. And, but I just can't take credit for any of it. You know, I did the same thing I did for years. I just had a mindset of being detached and having fun and being loose.
Oh my goodness. How good is God, Barry?
Oh yeah. I mean, you know, mind-blowingly good. And I feel like I have not been able to truly experience how good God is until I get to that very courageous point of totally surrendering to him.
Yep.
But as long as I'm trying to hold on to control and to, you know, anything else that points back at me, then I really don't get to experience the fullness of God.
Yeah. Amen. I want to talk for a moment about one other question with baseball, and then in the moments we have left, your somewhat new interest in your music career in Nashville. You chose to name the book Curveball, and there's a image on the cover of you in uniform. I guess the idea of baseball, and bear with me, we've never talked, we've never met, but I have a men's ministry. And one of my main guys is Daryl Strawberry, who, I mean, World Series champ, all-star, similar to you, achieved some of the greatest heights in baseball and crashed and burned. And now is I call him one of God's athletes. And so I guess the question I'll ask you, like I've talked with Dee about so many times, when you look at baseball now, what type of maybe if you share with young people, whatever, what does baseball mean to you now as a follower of Jesus above all?
Well, like I said, it became a game again, so I can really enjoy baseball for what a wonderful sport it is. And, I have a great relationship with it now. I can watch it on TV, and, there's a AAA team here in Nashville, and I'll take my kids to the game. So it doesn't have the pull on me or on my value as a human that it did for so long, and most of the time while I was playing. And I think that's what God does for me in all of life. I mean, it becomes kind of fun, and even though it's turbulent and there's bad things, it's like, what are you doing next, God? What's going on here? It's more of that curiosity than the terror, and to know that I'm loved and that there's something beautiful happening, even though I may not be able to, have that perspective to see it. I mean, that's what's really freeing, and that's the liberation and the peace that I was searching for my whole life.
Yeah. Praise God. Talk about your love for music. You're a singer-songwriter. You're in Nashville now. And I suspect in some ways there's some correlations between the discipline of being a professional athlete and pursuing your love for music now.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Well, my father and mother were actually incredible musicians. And so that was really my first love. My whole family are musicians. And so my father was a Nat King Cole's road conductor and arranger, and my mom sang with Nat, and I've lost them both now, sadly, but, to go into songwriting full time, and, I released a record in 2017, and just some songs that really tell the truth about who I am and kind of what I experienced in this journey that we've talked about. And, it's just been incredible. I mean, music is a medium like no other. You can tell a complete story in 2 to 3 minutes and do it with catchy melodies that get stuck in people's heads. And, it's so unique and special.
Oh, my goodness. Well, let me share this with you. You always have an open mic here. I've been doing this program for almost 7 years now. This is the largest Christian radio station in the United States. And the man that was my predecessor went home to the Lord. Goodness, it's hard to believe it's been almost 7 years. He was a former professional Major League Baseball pitcher, too. His name was Frank Pastore. He pitched for the Reds.
And that's incredible.
Yep. And just know, I would love if you're ever in SoCal and want to come in studio for an hour, talk about baseball, music, Jesus, anything, the importance of being a man of God. Know you've always got an open microphone here on my program, and I'm very, very grateful and blessed to have spent some time with you, and I hope and pray we can do it again sometime.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I appreciate that invitation. I will take you up on that for sure, and there's nothing more, nothing cooler than talking about the Lord. And I'll tell you something I really love doing lately here in Nashville is talking to non-believers, really just, what are their hangups and where'd they come from, and who misrepresented Jesus, man? Because there are so many people that, end up, unfortunately, creating a construct of Jesus that is not fully accurate, and I think leads a lot of people away, and it takes them a while to come back, and hopefully they do, but that's become a passion of mine, so maybe we can chat about that stuff too.
Would love to, brother. Your brand new book, Barry Zito, Curveball, How I Discovered True Fulfillment After Chasing Fortune and Fame, available at all the usual places. BarryZitoMusic.com is Barry's site, BarryZitoMusic.com. God bless you, brother. I'm looking forward to many more of these with you. Thank you for today.
Absolutely. It's been a pleasure, and I look forward to the next one.
All right. Sounds good. Curveball, pick it up. I got mine right in front of me. I can't wait to open it now. I wanted to wait to the interview, and you'll be blessed. It's not just obviously a book about baseball or sports. Ultimately, above all, it's about our purpose in life, and the only answer, his name is Jesus. Barry Zito, Curveball, pick it up.
Thanks for listening to Christian Outlook. Our program is coming to you today in partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. It's America's most unique graduate leadership programs offered on Pepperdine's breathtaking campus in Malibu, California. Learn more at publicpolicy.pepperdine.edu. If you enjoy our podcast, take a moment and tell a friend to subscribe today.